I suspect that nobody here in this room has ever seen someone resurrected from the grave. Just checking. It's not really a common thing, is it? It doesn't happen a lot. And that's because we all know that when someone dies, they usually stay dead. And they decay if they haven't been cremated. By the way, I just want to clear this up. Sometimes I have Christians come to me and say, is it okay to be cremated? And the answer to that question is, yes, I'm going to be cremated. Amen? Just let you know. It's got nothing to do with the sermon. Amen. You're doing nothing wrong being cremated. You know. But we did. If you get buried or cremated, you know, your body decays, it goes. And that's the natural way of living in this world. And it includes our animals. I've got two dogs and I love my dogs, but they're going to die. Plants, they decay. Everything, when you think about it, eventually dies. Everything does. And things decay. And even though we don't like that, the truth of the matter is that's how it is. And so you become comfortable with that because that's how life is. However, this week, I was listening to a remarkable testimony. It was just phenomenal testimony of a doctor. You might have heard this testimony, some of you. This doctor who suffered a fatal heart attack while driving from Esperance to Kalgoorlie. But fortunately, and he was a heart doctor himself, but he got pains in his chest and it never occurred to him that he was having a heart attack. He just thought it was pizza or something like that. But he managed, when it dawned on him what was happening, he managed to get to Kambalda, which is just a small town of about 800 people, and there's a clinic there. So he rushed to the clinic and he knew the people who were in the clinic. So he got there before he collapsed because he was actually driving with somebody else in his car. The medical staff in that clinic, they weren't able to prevent him from dying. They did everything they could, but he still died. And then they tried to resuscitate him, and they were unable to resuscitate him, so that they actually gave up as more doctors were rushing to the clinic from other places. So this doctor, he was dead for about 90 minutes until his wife arrived. She drove down from Kalgoorlie, and so she came, and his wife prayed a simple prayer. And it was a prayer that you probably would describe as faithless. It wasn't like she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Whatever that meant, what I just did then. She was just praying, God help. He was only 39. He was too young to die. And miraculously, the man came to life again. And then he soon recovered after about 13 days or something. He just got better all the time. And he was restored to full health. He hadn't been breathing for 90 minutes, and yet his brain, everything was fine. And so it was an astounding miracle, and his story is well documented, and there's all the medical records to show he actually died. Everything they said happened actually happened. And I'm actually trying, no promises, but I'm trying to get him to come to Real Life Church sometime to come and give his testimony. Who would like to hear that? Yeah. So, you know, anyway. Nonetheless, throughout history, there are these stories that you come across where people come back to life who've died. And these stories are rare, but they have happened. And then you read the Bible, and the Bible itself recounts several instances of dead people miraculously coming back to life, both in the Old Testament, and also in the New Testament. I think perhaps the strangest Bible resurrection story in the Old Testament was when a group of men were having a funeral and they were about to place a man's body in a tomb. However, their little funeral got interrupted by a group of bandits, and so they hastily just tossed the corpse into a tomb by random, and it happened to be the prophet Elisha's tomb. And they ran off, these men, but as the corpse hit Elisha's bones, the dead man revived and jumped to his feet and he ran away with them. Actually, with him running behind you, you'd be running even faster, wouldn't you? Now, there's only one way to describe that story. That's weird. Who knows, the Bible's full of really weird stories. You know, I want to be polite about it, but that's a weird story. And so there seems to have been some sort of residual power in the old prophet's bones. Of course, we know Jesus raised a couple of people from the dead. One of them was really famous. His name was Lazarus, yeah. And some of the apostles also raised one or two people from the dead. I think the apostle Peter raised a lady by the name of Tabitha or Dorcas. She had both names from the dead. Absolutely. But then as you read right throughout Christian history, there are these rare stories all the way through Christian history of people experience this supernatural coming back from the grave phenomenon. There was an English preacher. There he is. In the early part of the 20th century, named Smith Wigglesworth. And that's a weird name as well, isn't it? Smith Wigglesworth. And a lot of you have heard of him. Wigglesworth was a powerful preacher. He didn't start preaching until the age of 40 after he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was a powerful preacher who used to see extraordinary miracles take place in his services. And he was an extraordinary man. It's said that he raised 14 people from the dead, including his wife Polly. That's an interesting story with her. She died, he was in the home, and he was a man of incredible faith. And he prayed, and she came back to life again. And they had a conversation, and she said, "You've got to let me go. I want to go." And he let his wife go. How about that? What a story. So they reckon 14 people he raised from the dead. Now, I just want to make it categorically clear to everybody that I've never raised anyone from the dead. On Sunday morning, sometimes I feel like I'm trying to do that, but just joking. But I've never raised anybody from the grave. I actually would be kind of freaked out if that happened while I was doing a funeral or something like that, if the coffin lid open. Anyway, so I've never done that. But today, we are celebrating and remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And today is actually known around the world as Resurrection Sunday. We know that Jesus Christ died on the cross. We spoke about that on Friday. But we know that 3 days later, that Jesus rose again in triumph from the grave. This is what we believe. Amen. Was somebody going to clap then? Because we can clap. It is the greatest event in history, absolutely. However, the Bible says that Jesus was the first to rise from the dead. He's the first to rise from the dead. I'll say it again because I'm trying to emphasize something. He is the first to rise from the dead. It does not say that he was the second to rise from the dead, or the third, or the tenth to rise from the dead. It says Jesus was the first to rise from the dead. And that raises a serious question. How can Jesus be the first to rise from the dead when other people before Jesus have also been raised from the dead? And you can see on the screen there, what about Lazarus? He was before Jesus, and Jesus raised him from the dead. How can the Bible say that Jesus was the first to rise from the dead? It seems a little bit confusing, at first at least, until you think about it. There were several other people raised from the dead before Jesus. But all of the people who were raised to life from the grave, including the guy who touched Elisha's bones and sprang up and ran, and including Lazarus, all of them, they were only raised to life temporarily. When they got raised to life, they still only lived out their natural years. Lazarus is not here today. And when these people were raised from the grave and returned to life, they still had their original decaying body with the same colored hair and the same wrinkles. Really, nothing had really changed about them, other than that they were miraculously and mercifully healed, and they now were alive. Plus, they had an amazing story to share with other people, and they became all very popular, probably. But old Lazarus still had the same aging body. Still the same when Jesus called him out of the tomb. He was still limited by what his body could do and couldn't do. Lazarus still had to rest. He still had to sleep. He still had to wash. He still had to eat. And he still had to go to the loo. And then one day, after getting old, Lazarus died again. And he was gone. So the poor guy had to die twice. You get to only do it once. Amen. So clearly, Lazarus, really, he had not escaped the clutches of death at all. In fact, none of them had. All those who were raised up, none of them had really escaped the clutches of death. Their natural bodies were still subject to the same old death and decay, just like every single one of us here in this room today. However, unlike Lazarus, and unlike this doctor in Cambodia, and unlike all the others who have been raised from the dead, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead with a transformed body. This is really important to understand that. A transformed body. It was a new kind of body. Jesus rose from the grave with what the Bible calls a spiritual body. What on earth is a spiritual body? I'm really glad they've all asked that question today. What is it? What is it? Well, a spiritual body is very different to our normal, frail, mortal bodies. We are mortal. Spiritual bodies are not subject to death and decay. Now, I've been having a little bit of a problem with my teeth. I lost one. Everybody, all of you have noticed, haven't you? Just there. Yeah. And so I've been getting lectures from the dentist, and she wants to charge me $1 million to get that fixed up. I probably will. Because this is going to be streamed onto Facebook and I want to look good for the international audience. Amen. So, but I got a bit of decay. I got this massive filling in up here because my teeth are decaying. But when you have a spiritual body, you don't have any decay going on in your body at all. You're not going bald. I don't know what's happening to my body. I had to go to the other, I went to the skin cancer clinic the other day. I went because I had this big lump grow up on the side of my face. Some of you saw it. Some of you asked me what it was. And it was a wart. And she had to spray that stuff on to make it drop off. And it's dropped off now. See that? Looks good, doesn't it? It's good. Spiritual bodies, this is really deep. Spiritual bodies don't have warts. They don't get skin cancer. And your teeth don't decay. Amen. So that's what a spiritual body is. And spiritual bodies are designed for another place. They're designed for heaven. Spiritual bodies are designed for paradise. And your spiritual bodies, they're designed for eternal life. Is everybody still with me, you know? And no one else in all of human history has ever been raised to life with a spiritual body. Only Jesus Christ has ever done that. Therefore, Jesus Christ is the very first to truly rise from the grave, and consequently, Jesus Christ is no longer subject to death and decay. Praise the Lord! Jesus has conquered the grave. Jesus has conquered death. And he conquered the grave and he conquered death on our behalf. So we could be like him. Now, I understand that this spiritual body stuff that I'm trying to explain is really mysterious to us and is weird. Rising from the dead is not only mysterious, but it is a weird subject. I understand that. We don't really understand what it all means. I've never been to heaven. I've never raised anybody from the dead. I've never been to heaven. We don't really understand what it all means. But talking about these things and learning about these things is very, very important to every single person in this room. And that's because every one of us has gotten an appointment with the grave sooner or later. You have an expiry date as far as your existence concerning planet Earth. Not a nice subject, but seriously, we need to talk about it a bit more often. We're all headed for the grave. It is inescapable. The grave, you might not be good at keeping your appointments, but there's one appointment you will not miss. It's with the grave. And I promise you I'll do your funeral if I'm still around. Amen. But because of Jesus, the grave is not the end for us. Very important to remember. Nonetheless, we've got to get that afterlife stuff sorted out. We really do. Because we want to make sure that we're going up when we die and not going down when we die. I'll say it again. You want to make sure you're going up when you die and not going down when you die. This is really important. You know, I've been trying to sort out my superannuation lately. Oh, you know, that's another thing going on in my life. It's not just my body, it's my super. Amen. You know, but you know, that's not what's more important is where you're going to be when you die. That's more important than your superannuation. Praise God. And this resurrection of Jesus is the one and only thing that gives us genuine hope and joy concerning our eternal destination and future. And why is that? Why is that? It is because while Jesus is the first to rise from the dead, he will not be the only one to rise again from the dead. There are many others who are going to follow him. I'm just giving you a bit of a hint who it might be right now. Anybody picking up this hint this morning? There are many others on that final day. And there will be a final day. I don't know about you, but I know we Christians always have been saying this. But seriously, we must be close to the end. Jesus must be coming again soon. The world is just so crazy out there. But there will be many others on that final day when Jesus returns that will rise again from the grave, and they will rise again with a spiritual body. See, the doctrine of the Cambolda, he rose from the dead still with the same body, but he will rise again from the dead one day because he's got faith in Jesus with a spiritual body, ready for heaven just like Jesus Christ. The old apostle John said this in the Bible, Jesus has not shown us what we will be like, but we do know that we will be like him. And you really want to be one of those people who are like him. And if you are like him in this life, then you will be like him in the next life. In fact, if you are an authentic follower of Jesus Christ in this life, then you are already destined to be resurrected and restored with your own spiritual body, and you will be just like Jesus, and you'll be where Jesus is when you slip from this life into the next. Praise God. The Bible explains this to us. It says this in 1 Corinthians. It says, Adam, who remembers Adam? Yeah, he's a guy who got us into this mess. Amen. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Jesus Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man. They're like Adam. And heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, this is so important, I'm going to read that again. Just as today we are like Adam, we will someday be like the heavenly man, Jesus Christ. We will someday be like the heavenly man. Not today, but we will someday be like Jesus Christ. Regarding more about this spiritual body stuff, the Bible explains further about what will happen to followers of Jesus when they die. It says this. Our earthly body, this is a beautiful passage of scripture. So beautiful. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness. Absolutely. Absolutely they are. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They're buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They're buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. Absolutely. So Easter is more than about eating Easter eggs. Who got the Easter egg as you came in? Amen. But Easter is more than that. Everybody in the room, we already know that. It's more than about hot cross buns. Yeah, we know that. But it's more also, listen, it's more also listening to speeches about how the resurrection is a metaphor for new beginnings and a new life. It's more than having those kind of namby-pamby messages about Easter. The resurrection story is more than a story about how good can come out of bad. Yeah, that's a great story. But Easter is way much more than that. Easter is our annual reminder that as followers of Jesus Christ, we will be literally resurrected from the dead with spiritual bodies so that we can step freely into heaven and into eternity to be with Jesus forever. It's no metaphor. This is a true story. And that resurrection that we're talking about today actually has already started on the inside of you when you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Your spirit has already come alive to God. We call it being born again. And only born again people in this life get resurrected in the next life. However, you may not even need to be physically dead to get your spiritual body. You might not need to be dead. If you are still alive when Jesus Christ comes again, you will skip the dying bit. I'll say it again. If you're still alive when Jesus Christ comes again, you will skip the dying bit. And your body will be instantly transformed. Now who wishes Jesus Christ would come back again today? You know that whole dying bit? Really, I don't find very, very nice. Anyway, praise God. This is what the Bible says about this matter. What I'm saying to you, dear brothers and sisters at Real Life Church, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's why they need to be transformed. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, or the King James says, in the twinkling of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. That's when Jesus comes back again. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, so they go first, and we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. How cool is that? Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. I'm reading about what's going to happen to you. One rapture and we're all out of here. So, if you are alive when Jesus Christ comes back again, you're going to be changed in the blink of an eye. Without physically dying at all. One moment you'll be like Adam, where you live under the shadow of pain and trouble, and where you're subject to death and decay. Then the next moment, you're going to be transformed when Jesus comes again into a spiritual body. And that will happen because you are a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. That's the only reason why that will happen to you. In an instant, in an instant, in an instant, you will no longer be perishable. Rather, you would have become like Jesus Christ. So the Bible summarizes this resurrection message by saying this. First, the believers who have died will rise from the graves. Now that's going to be a great day. Imagine being working in the cemetery on that day. Okay. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then we will be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. So followers of Jesus in this life will be transformed or resurrected so they can enjoy the rewards of Almighty God. We will then be ready for all the things that are hidden for us in eternity, where there will be no more death, there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more crying, and there will be no more pain. Praise the Lord. That is the primary message of Easter. Therefore, in view of everything that's been said, that decision that you made all those years ago, or maybe last year or even this year, to repent of your sins and humble yourself before God. That decision you made to become a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, and that determination you've displayed in order to honor God by the way you live, and all that living for Jesus, all that shining for Jesus in the good times and the bad times, even when you wanted to quit, all of that persevering will result in the greatest reward possible being bestowed upon you. You will become like Jesus Christ in eternity. That's where this is this is where we are headed, to be like Jesus Christ. No longer will you be like Adam, subject to death and decay. Instead, you will be built to enjoy eternal life and all that that entails. Therefore, remember this bit, I've just about finished. Look at my eyes, everybody. Could you all look at my eyes? Listen, I'm speaking really seriously to you right now. Listen, listen. I don't know what's in the future, but listen. I encourage everybody in this place, hang in there, don't give up. Keep pushing through no matter what comes your way. Never, ever, listen, never, ever, ever give up on following Jesus Christ. Never do that. Listen, never do that. Even if Christians offend you, if I let you down, never give up on Jesus. Be strong. Be strong in your faith. Be courageous. It takes guts to be a Christian. And just keep moving forward, for your reward is coming soon. Don't trade your faith for some temporary desire. How dumb is that? This life is just a brief moment. Don't trade your faith for a temporary desire. Don't quit the race of life over a struggle or a problem. Let me tell you something about problems. They keep coming. You're never going to arrive where you say, oh, I've got no more problems. No, 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 no. Jesus says in this world, you will have trouble. So get over it. Keep moving forward. The problem's finished when Jesus Christ comes back again. Keep persevering right through the end. Keep seeking after God all the days of your life, because the Bible says it's those that endure to the end who will be saved. Make sure that includes you. Praise the Lord. So, in conclusion, if you want to be included in the resurrection, and I'm going to presume that includes everybody in this room, whether I've met you before or not, if you want to be included in the resurrection, if you want to go up and not go down, then you've got to heed the words of Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus said. He said in the Bible, Jesus said about himself, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. The only way to escape death and hell is to believe in the rescuer from heaven. And his name is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins so we could have eternal life. Amen. And today, Jesus demands that every one of us, demands every Australian, people around the world, Jesus demands that we repent of our sins and follow him with all of our heart. And then in return, Jesus promises that he will be with you through this life and he will resurrect you so you can be like him in the next life to come when your time comes. Final scripture, Jesus said this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus has a place for you in eternity, because eternity is where you belong. Come on, everybody, let's stand to our feet. Come on. Hey, let's just grab this moment. Let's just create a sacred moment, all of us together. And then we're going to finish with a praise song. But let's pray. Let's just close our eyes. Let's seize the moment, this Easter. Special moment. Holy moment. And like, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to give an opportunity for somebody here today, maybe several people here today, for you to get right with God by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Believing in the words of Jesus, that he is the resurrection and the life. I want to give you an opportunity to let go of your past, let go of your sins. Acknowledge that you are a sinner, but that you can receive the love of God today. Put your faith in Jesus. Be born again. Start again today. Start becoming a person who follows Jesus. And everybody's praying. Everybody's got their eyes closed except me, actually. I've got my eyes open. I'm looking at you. I just want to pray for you. Of you saying, yes, Pastor Dave, I didn't understand everything you said, but I really do want to go to heaven. I do want to be right with God. I do want to be born again. Would you say a prayer for me? Absolutely, I'd be honored. So if that's you, we do this a lot in our church. This is a sacred, powerful moment, your moment. If that's you, just give me a wave of your hand. I'll pray for you. Just where you're standing. But I got it. God bless you. Thanks, down the back there. Thank you. A couple more down the back there. Yeah, over there. Two over there. Couple over here too. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, oh, I see that lady too. Thanks. Hey, thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Okay. Smart decision, hey. Why don't we just all just gently lift our hands to the Lord? You don't have to stretch all the way, but just lift your hands to the Lord, everybody. Christians, could you be praying from your heart right now? Yeah. 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 Okay, what if we all say the same prayer together then, all of us, Christians and those who have just raised their hand, and maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know, you're right on the edge, you might want to repeat this simple prayer after me, but from your heart, as you reach out to Jesus Christ today. And if everybody could say it, it makes it easy for everybody then. So here we go, if you could repeat this prayer after me. Almighty God, I realize that I am a sinner. and that I've done bad things that keep me from going to heaven. But today, I turn my back on those sins and I repent of them. And I turn to Jesus. And I recognize that Jesus died for my sins so I could be forgiven. So I ask you, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. And I invite Jesus Christ into my life. I promise to follow Jesus all the days of my life. Amen. Praise God. And so, Father, we just pray you'll put a seal on that prayer. Simple prayer, but powerful, Lord, when we put our faith in you. Pray for those who have raised their hands today, that this will be the start, Lord, of a wonderful life of walking with Jesus Christ. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. And they shouted, hallelujah. Amen. You ready for one more praise song? Yeah. Come on, you guys.